Welcome to worship today as we gather together apart. My name is Lynn and I'm the minister at Adelaide West. Today we celebrate 35 years of cultural diversity. The Uniting Church is a multicultural church for all God's people, and today we join with the one great Sunday of sharing, helping us to keep this focus at the heart of our common life. We live in a multicultural land and have the privilege of spending time with people whose culture and background is different to our own. We are rich in culturally and linguistically diverse peoples that make up our nation. We're grateful to God for the traditional custodians on the land wherever we are at the moment, and acknowledge the importance of their cultures, languages, and stories, and pay our respects to their elders and leaders, past and present. As part of our welcome to each other, we light a candle. We do this at each of the services here at Adelaide West. It unites us together. We come from different places with different histories, different cultures. All are welcome as we gather together in this way. And this candle, and each candle, reflects that welcome and the presence of Jesus with us. We worship together. Where the Spirit is, we experience freedom and life. And as we live by the Spirit, we're free to love and to share.
Matthew 13, 24 to 30 and 36 to 43. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows good seed in the field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds amongst the wheat and then went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed into your field? Where did the weeds come from?" "The enemy did it," he said. The servants asked, "Do you want us to go and pull them out?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling out the weeds, you may uproot the wheat. Let them both grow together until harvest. At this time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them together in bundles to be burned. Then gather up the wheat and bring it into the barn." And from verse 36, "Then he left the crowds and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the wheat in the field.' He answered, 'The ones who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burnt into the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom the things that cause sin and do evil. They will throw them into a blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let him hear." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Weeds, weeds, weeds. Do you hate the weeds? Do you dream of a garden without them? Just imagine no weeds in the garden bed. No weeds in the lawn. No weeds in the pavers. No weeds in the pots. And for those of you who farmed or perhaps still do, imagine no weeds in the paddocks and no weeds in the crops. Weeds, they have a way of getting in the way of life. I thought of pulling up some weeds to bring here as a prop, but thought it might cause stress for some of us, and rather this was a place of peace. You know, in our lives, things get in the way of life being perfect. And it's like the weeds in the garden. We want to prune them out. We have this picture of what life could look like. It would be a life of peace and joy. It would be orderly and neat, all nicely pruned. Then the weeds come. And it's like a metaphor for chaos and disruption and complexity. Somehow things aren't black and white. They're not pruned like we thought they were. It's grey, it's complex, the weeds grow, and it's certainly not neat like we'd planned. Now here we have another parable in Matthew. In fact, we have five parables just in Matthew 13. Parables are yarns, provoking questions from us. Jesus uses them as a teaching aid by taking something familiar to communicate the unfamiliar, something earthly to communicate something heavenly. Normally, in Middle Eastern storytelling at the time, an exclamation wasn't given. So one sat with the mystery of it all. Last week we looked at the parable of the sower. That service is available on YouTube. We noted the abundance of seed and God sowing seed everywhere. Not just the places with the best return. We also talked about how we're to sow and to throw the seeds of God's love everywhere ourselves. This week, we have the parable of the weeds and the wheat. And on the first reading of it, I wondered why I'd chosen this passage and why I hadn't gone to Romans 8, because I love Romans. Sometimes passages in the Bible can be confusing and we don't know what to make of them. And so we need to hear messages on the confusing parts. So what do I make of this? And what can we make of this together? One thing we need to remember is that parables are about the kingdom of God. And this parable starts that way, like so many do. The kingdom of heaven or God is like. Matthew prefers the kingdom of heaven, so he uses that. And if we miss this being about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, God's reign, and if we then try to make it a moral tale, we're missing the point. In this parable, a farmer plants a crop in a field, and during the night, his enemy sneaks in and plants weeds amongst the crop. The farm workers ask the farmer if they can go into the field and rip out the weeds, but the farmer says no, as they would damage the crop itself. Instead, the farmer is prepared to wait and see what grows. If it's a good crop, it will be harvested and kept. If it's a weed, it will be destroyed. The farmer is prepared to be patient and to give the plant a chance to show its true character. At the end of it all, the weeds will be destroyed. Clearly, there's an inference here about evil. How do we make sense of evil in the world? We see it every day. Selfish behaviour, abuse, murder, poverty, slavery, hunger, injustice, racism, hatred of others, bullying. How do we deal with the selfishness that we see in the world? How many of us have said or heard, why doesn't God do something about evil in the world? But God has done something in the person of Jesus Christ. God has come to show us how life is meant to be in the kingdom. And now we live in that time between. Between the initial arrival of the kingdom of God and its conclusion. And in this in-between time, evil is still present as the kingdom of God grows and spreads across our world. You know, we all want to fix things. In this story, the farm workers want to fix it. It's a perfectly good and natural response. When I was working in church property a few years ago and came home after a heavy day, sometimes I just need to unburden with Craig, my husband, what my day had been like and the problems that I'd encountered. But he'd make suggestions to fix it. And I didn't want it to be fixed. I just needed him to listen. So I changed the introduction. And if I needed to unload, I'd say, "Now I don't want you to fix this. I just need you to listen." And mostly he did. The farm workers want to fix it. They want to get rid of the weeds. They're just like us. We want to be in charge. We can fix it. But Jesus says, don't fix it. This is not a problem to be fixed right now. In the parable, Jesus says to leave the good and evil alone. You know, we want to live in this black and white world, but it's really a bit grey. And sometimes we need to sit with those rough edges, the grey edges. We want to work out who's in and who's out. We're always wanting to compartmentalise and differentiate with people, cultures, behaviours and roles. And that's why our statement of the Uniting Church and the focus of being a multicultural church is so important. It's a reminder of how we celebrate diversity of cultures, histories, and stories. This parable shows we are not to judge others. After all, we're all capable of good and bad ourselves, and we know that. Jesus is saying that this is what the kingdom is like. Leave it to the harvesters to sort it out. After all, we judge from our limited worldview. We think we're the wheat and everyone isn't, who isn't us are the weeds. When we ask God to deal with the problem of evil, we really want God to deal with other people's evil, not ours. We want judgment for everyone else and grace for ourselves. But there's a reassurance from Jesus that evil will be dealt with. Images of judgment for Matthew are like warning shots. Rhetorical, not necessarily literal. Rather, these are stories that paint pictures that invite people to respond to the gift of grace that God offers. It seems that Matthew is grappling with the reality of life, the reality that God would allow evil to grow alongside each other in the kingdom. We need to remember that this is just one story in a myriad of stories, and it's not the only story of what to do with evil in the world, but it does speak into the complexities of life. We are living in complex times right now. You know, how does this parable speak into the issue about what we should do with statues right now? Possibly, this parable would say that none of the people memorialized in a statue were all good or all bad. And none of us commenting on it today are doing it for all good or all bad motives. It's complex. There are different solutions, and we need to have different conversations about this because we don't live in a black and white world where we have all the answers. And hence, we're not to simply snip out the things that disagree with my vision of life. Jesus recommends leaving the weeds alone in the parable. And perhaps it encapsulates how Jesus deals with situations. With social situations, he has an open table. He crosses boundaries. Those that worked for good and those that didn't, all are welcome. Jesus lived with complexity and welcomed all. I heard a minister say this week that Jesus didn't create a church with a logo and a cap and a t-shirt saying, "Make Palestine great again." But Jesus, like the grace of God, as the grace of God, show the generosity to live within complexity, not needing to judge, but to allow things to grow and develop. This is a generous view of God's grace. Live a life. Live with the wrinkles. God will smooth them out in God's time. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, that we begin living only when we rise above our individual concerns to the broader concerns of humanity. And how can true concern flourish without our realizing we're all in this mess together? Our roots are tangled, and whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. And hence, good person, bad person exclusiveness limits. It limits the possibilities of continual conversion, reconciliation, maturing in faith, and growing compassion. Matthew 13 challenges us to play with parables not as tidy, moralistic tales, but as windows into God, as simple pictures which reveal glimpses of God's unique kingdom. It's not a black and white world. We're not to judge. We leave that for God. We're to be patient. God's kingdom is at work behind the scenes. Don't try to fix all the weeds in life. Our task is to trust, to believe, and to hope. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, Creator God, thank you that you bring us into the light. You give us hope. Thank you that you will deal with evil, that we aren't responsible for fixing things. Lord Jesus, there are so many weeds in our lives. We're sorry for the times we discriminate, when we judge, when we think we're the wheat and others are the weeds. Forgive us for when we try to fix everything, when we think we know what's best. Thank you that these things and all our sins are forgiven. Holy Spirit, help us to wait patiently for solutions, to listen to your nudges for direction. Keep us from harming any wheat and help us to nurture others in their growth. Help us to rise above our individual concerns to the broader concerns of humanity. And so we do pray for the broader concerns, for the places in the world where we see evil at work, places where there is war and oppression, poverty, where human life isn't valued. We continue to pray for those places where COVID is so rampant. Pray for those newly diagnosed with the COVID-19 virus and their loved ones. And for the health and community services, service workers caring for them. And we pray for all those across our church membership and our community service agencies who are responding compassionately and in practical ways to this pandemic. Lord Jesus, we pray for the people of Victoria and New South Wales at this time. We pray for those living in fear, in hospital, for those isolating, for those doing the heavy task of contact tracing and for all working hard to stop the spread at this time. And we pray for the churches as they grapple with whether to go back, whether not to, and what this time looks like, particularly in Victoria, where they're not able to meet together. So we pray for them. And Holy Spirit, we pray for those in our midst and those we know who live with judgment, fear, or health issues, recovering from surgery or falls, those looking for work or have work but finding it difficult due to the complexities of COVID. We pray for schools going back next week. And we continue to pray for a new baby in our midst. And together we lift the names and faces of people and pray for your hope, grace and peace. God of many faces and names, who you created all people in your image. And so we thank you for the amazing diversity of races, languages, accents and cultures in this world that you have created. And we thank you for the wonderful diversity reflected within the First Peoples and Second Peoples of this land and in our church. We thank you for the blessings and enrichment we have received from the rich diversity in the body of Christ. And we pray that in our diversity, we will find the unity that's given to us in Christ and appreciate the gifts that others bring to us. We pray that we will reach out to those who are different from us and see you in the faces of the poor, the strangers, and the persecuted. We pray that we may be transformed and drawn into intentional, intercultural relationships and community. Help us to take the steps you call us to take to build a more just, inclusive community where diversity is embraced, where difference is respected. Lord of all creation, we offer you our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Of water, earth, and sky.
It's a joy to gather together for worship, and I hope you feel encouraged and hopeful. I encourage you to reach out and to connect with others now or later today. We continue to respond to God's grace and generosity with our gifts and offerings, and we pray that these gifts in our lives, our time and our energy would be used to share the good news of God's grace. For Connect Groups, I'll put up some questions to discuss from today's service on Facebook, or contact us if you would like a copy. And prayer is always available. Ring or email, or if you're watching live, press the prayer button. Next week, Phil Carr will be preaching at the online service as well as the two morning in-person services. And we also have a five-person in-person service as well. Why not invite someone to join? At the in-person services today, we're watching the YouTube of The Blessing in Australia. This is many churches in Australia working together to bless this nation. And we'll put that link up on the Facebook groups. As we close today, we remember that it's not a black and white world. We are not to judge. God's kingdom is at work sorting the weeds in our lives and in this world. And hence, we live as neighbours, not strangers, as brothers and sisters, not them and us. And we celebrate the diversity of our human family and the unity of our call to peace, love, and justice. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you as you go into this week serving God's world. Amen. Thank you for joining us.